Hallelujah. Oh Lord, the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, is a text that claims our attention this morning. The sanctuary service. We've been dealing with Christian consistency, that is always the same. Last couple of services, we've been dealing with consistent prayer. So I'm going to pick up our reading, chapter 5, 2 Thessalonians. I'm sorry, 1 Thessalonians. I got a look, one look, somebody paying attention. Verse number 16 is where we will start our reading. And the word of the Lord reads on this wise: Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you.
Yes, Lord.
Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Pray without ceasing. As we've been dealing in these past couple of weeks about the results of consistent prayer, that sometimes it takes all night prayer to get to the place of an answer. And as you have come to understand over the past couple of weeks, that answer, not all the time, is what you want to hear.
Exactly.
But it is the answer to your question. It's the answer to your problem. And so here, as Paul is dealing with the folk at Thessalonica, he has been sharing with them the idea about how it is that you are to live this Christian life, the way that you should be guiding yourself, the behaviors that you should have. And he speaks very long-windedly in some cases. But when we get to the place of our text today, he starts shortening up his phrases. And they're very sharp at the same time. He just gives you some short things that he says, and I'm not going to be before you long, but he just says to us, I got to talk to you about praise, because when I begin to talk about prayer, I understand that you can't pray unless you praise.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Praise and prayer always go together.
Yes,
and if you show up praying, you're not going to pray without having some praise
Amen.
Off up in there.
Yes.
And so the text says, rejoice evermore. See, the problem is, with all of the things, Brother Chris, the things that you have to go through, there is coming a day when the Lord is going to crack the sky.
Yeah.
And that he's coming back for us. And so there ought to be something that causes you to always be at a place of rejoicing.
Yeah.
A place of praise. A place of celebration. I know it's not looking good right now. I know it's not always going to be what it is that you want it to be, but the very fact that the Lord is coming should be enough for us to rejoice.
Amen.
Should be enough to throw up hands. It should be enough to hold back and holler, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. And we ought to be at that place sometime, because the promise has been given, and sure enough, he is on its way. And I know it looks like we've been saying that for a very long time. Please understand, time ain't long as it's been. Yeah, so the promise, y'all, is now nearer than it's been. And so he says to us that we ought to rejoice.
Mm-hmm.
Got long faces sometimes, but you ought to rejoice.
Yeah.
Broken hearts every now and then, but you still ought to rejoice. There's a place that you need to get to where rejoicing, where praise, where thanksgiving becomes a part of your DNA, that regardless of what time you get up or where you get up, that God is worthy of the praise. He said, let the people rejoice.
Yeah.
He, and you know, the folks probably say, look at him. He it's a good thing you're talking about that, but we're going through some stuff over here.
Right.
But Paul, he could have responded and said to tell them about the stuff that he's been going through. Yeah, but he says you got to understand even what Jesus said. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice, listen at it, and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. We get the word down from Jesus. He tells us very plainly that regardless of what the people might do to you, you still ought to rejoice. Why? Because you are blessed. You are blessed because they are mistreating you. You're blessed because they hate on you. You're blessed. And he says, I'm giving you blessings because of the stuff that comes against you. I've been hearing the testimony. That's what he's saying. There are some things that happen, and it seems as though a lot of times, even in Sunday school lesson this morning, they're talking about heroes and heroines. And it seems like that every time you see one of them shows, the end is always going to be the same. You know, it looks bad, but you know they're coming out. If you can watch those. Yeah. And know that your hero gonna win.
Come on.
You ought to know that victory belongs to you.
Yeah.
And you ought to be able to shout, even though I can't see it right now. I know we're just 15 minutes into the 1 hour long program, and it looks really grim, but God knows I'm coming out of this thing on top.
Yeah.
Somebody should have shouted right there.
Amen.
The very fact that God is on your side is going to secure your victory. And that's all Paul wants us to understand. That he wants you to understand that victory does belong to you. He's been talking to the folk at Philippi, one of these places real close to Thessalonica. He's been talking to them and showing them that there is some great joy that must be displayed, and that you have to rejoice. And when they read the words rejoice evermore in the letter, they were tripping out. But, you know, Paul was like, look here, you ain't been beat like me. You have not gone through what I've gone. I've been shipwrecked. I've been persecuted. I've been going through all these changes, and I'm only telling you to rejoice, and all you dealing with a little menial stuff along your way.
Yeah.
Rejoice evermore. He could have said, you haven't seen my back.
Right.
Yeah. Every now and then, somehow you ought to say, you need to see my back. Mm-hmm. Figuratively, you got to understand that your back looks like Paul's back.
Yeah.
It looks like Jesus's back. You got to understand that there are some things that has gotten you to the place you are that have not been pleasant along the way. But here you stand on both feet.
Yeah.
Still got breathing in and out, inhaling and exhaling. You got breath in your body. You still here. And so his word to the folk is rejoice evermore. That's all he's saying. After all, praising people are prevailing people. Glory to God.
Yeah.
That if you will praise, you will prevail.
Amen.
I know it's hard sometimes, but if you will just praise, you will prevail. What can the enemy do to the man who is so full of joy? That no matter what happens, he still has a song overflowing in his spirit. Can you imagine the enemy trying to get at you and you still giving God praise? Can you imagine the folk that are outside who know your story? They know what you're going through. They know what you have done. And they know where you're coming from. And yet you still got a song.
Yes.
Yet you still got a smile on your face. Glory to God. And that gives you a pathway to your deliverance. It gives you a pathway to your victory. Praising people are prevailing people. And so he says, I need to talk to you about your praise, but particularly this is where I'm trying to go today. He said, I need to talk to you about your prayer. He tells them a couple of things about prayer. And can I tell us, before I get to them, two things, and so this will be your third thing, is that you ought to pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Problem is, many folk don't pray.
That's right.
You got problems and you will not pray. You sometimes you'll ask other people to pray, but you won't pray for yourself. So first thing I need to tell is that you ought to just pray. Always pray. That's what the text says. You got to always pray. And so when he says in the text that pray without ceasing, it says to us that first of all, that we have access at all times to the Master. Now, if it tells me that I got to pray without ceasing, then that means that there is no time that I go to God that God ain't ready to hear me. That means that all the time that I need him, he's ready to listen. You've got access at all times. Yeah, that says the door to the throne room has been thrown wide open. The door to the voice, to the ear of God has been tuned to your station to hear just what you have to say. I wish you would pray without ceasing. You got to get to the place where you're always praying. And then there's no place. I said there's no place like the place of the throne room of God where you have total access at all times. Can you imagine being able to have access to the White House? Go in anytime you want. You can't even get past the gate.
Right.
Let alone walk up in the president's office. And here you have one that's greater than that.
Yeah.
The kingdom of God. Even heaven. You can walk into the throne room of God without being hindered, hurt, or maimed. You can go right to God and say, God, this is what I got to tell you. I need to find somebody that's willing to want to go to the throne room. Because of the blood of Jesus, he has made it possible for you to enter in.
Yeah.
For the veil has been rent. It's been torn in two. You can get to him, access him. You got audience with God day and night.
Yes, Lord.
You know, there are 9 and then there's some people that you can't get to on a certain period of time.
Right.
You know, don't call me after 9.
Yeah.
Don't call me before 8. You see what I'm saying? That there are people that will quarantine you on the time and the place where you can reach out to them. But here I hear God saying, you can call me any time, any day, any place, anywhere. You can just come to me. Listen, God said, come on in.
Come on.
Come on in where the table is spread. Come on in and sit down. Come on in. He said, I'm glad to see you. Listen at him. Some people will slip in or some people will come. I see people standing at the door. They be trying to peek through the door. You know, come on in. Yeah, that's why them glasses back there so you can see through them. You got to tell them to come on in.
Come on in.
You know, he said, come on in. Stay as long as you like. Now, there's nowhere you can go visit that the folk will tell you to stay as long as you like. Because after a few minutes, they're ready for you to get up and go.
Uh-huh.
But he said, come on in. Stay as long as you like. Talk to me about anything you want to talk to me about. Tell me about your family. Talk to me about your friends. Tell me about where you work. Tell me about your church. Talk to them. Talk to me about Pastor Jackson. Tell me what you really think about him. Tell him about where you live. Tell him about your neighbors. Tell him about your troubles, your joys, your fears, your hopes, your sins and your shortcomings and your goals and your ambitions. He said, come on in and tell me everything.
Yeah.
Yeah. God says, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You can pray. You can pray when you getting ready to get on that bus. You pray wherever you are. You driving in your car. You pray when somebody's saying goodbye. Pray when somebody's saying hello. Prayer does not have to be sermonized. You don't have to sermonize it. You don't have to even structure it. And now and then, you ought to just go on and tell God exactly what you want. When Nehemiah went to the king and tell him what he wanted to do, he had already talked to God and he had to go talk to the king. And look, his prayer wasn't no long drawn out prayer. All he said was, grant that I might go build the city.
Yeah.
I just want to go. This is what I got to do. I don't need no whole lot of commentary with God. He already knows. Then you just tell him the meat of the matter. That's what he's saying. And so Nehemiah didn't need a whole lot of words because God can read the unformed words.
That's right.
of a praying heart.
Yes.
Can I tell somebody that if you have a heart that is a praying heart, that's a heart that is in tune to God. That's a heart that leans on God. That's a heart that depends on God. That's a heart that expects God. That's a heart that will hear God. If you have that kind of heart, then God already don't need you to say a whole lot of stuff. He just fill in the blanks for what you got going on. Yeah, he wants us to know that when it comes to prayer, that you have to know that you have access at all times. Mm-hmm. But not only that, but you've got to have acceptance in all things. Now, some of y'all shouted, you got excited on the access part. That you got access at all times. But it's the other part of that text that you gotta embrace right along with that.
Right.
He it's no use for us to pray, not my will but thine be done, and then rebel against what God sends by way of an answer. You know what I'm saying? You know, you done asked him, and then he answered, and now you want to go against what he done gave you. The text says, in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That's the part that we don't get. In everything, give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. There's a story told about this man who had read this particular verse of scripture and got excited about it one morning. He said, I'm going to take that to heart. I'm going to give thanks. In everything. He goes down, he's in Mobile, Alabama, he gets on the Greyhound bus for an all-day trip, and it was one of those hot and humid summer days that back then when there wasn't no air conditioning on the buses and the cars. They didn't have no air conditioning. And he got there early, and he got on the bus and secured his seat next to the window. And he began to say, thank you, Lord, for the window seat. It's going to be a long trip, and so it's going to be hot, but at least I can get a breeze.
Yeah.
And so the bus began to fill up. And however, the seat next to him remained vacant. He said, thank you, Lord. It's going to be a hot trip, but at least I have room to stretch out.
Yeah.
The driver took his seat and began to close the door and getting ready to pull off. He said, thank you, Lord, that you have kept this seat empty beside me. Just as the driver gets ready to pull off, somebody go banging on the door. It's some late arriving passenger. This woman shows up and she climbs aboard, pouring sweat. Gray, and she's very large, got a little boy in tow. She comes down, passes all these empty seats, and gets to him and plops down.
Mm-hmm.
She's in his seat, her seat and his seat.
Mm-hmm.
She's sweating. And she's got a little bit of body odor.
Oh.
Top it all, she pulls out a cigarette way back yonder. She pulls out a cigarette, begins to smoke and blowing smoke every which way. The little boy is pitching a fit. He's kicking his feet and beating up the man that's sitting beside her. And he's sitting there trying to figure out, okay, y'all, what is it that I need to be thankful for
in
this situation? You ever been in that place right now? Well, you know, in everything I'm supposed to give thanks, and I'm trying to figure out why I need to give thanks in this particular situation, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Again, shake his head. What is this situation supposed to teach me? What I'm supposed to be thankful for? And all of a sudden, it hit him right there. You could be thankful that you're not married to her. Y'all ought to laugh every now and again. The point is that God expects that we should rise triumphant over our circumstances. That even whatever our circumstances are, that we should be triumphant over them. There's always something that we can be thankful for. You always got to figure out what it is, but it's always something that you can be thankful for. Notice, y'all smart folk over here at the Grove, you smart. The apostle says, in everything, give thanks. He does not say, for everything.
That's right.
I don't need to repeat that over and over again, but he says, in everything. In In denotes being or remaining within, with the primary idea of rest and continuance. It has regard to place and space. For instance, Jesus told his disciples, "I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves." When Jesus found himself being pressured by the thronging crowds, he withdrew himself in to the wilderness to pray. And it is also refers to a sphere of action. We read of Herod that he had laid hold of John and bound him and put him in prison. Paul congratulated the Roman Christians and thanked God for them. He said, "I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout or in the whole world." He told them later in his letter that by virtue of their having been buried with Christ by baptism unto death, therefore, as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We find ourselves in indignant circumstances, facing persecution or bereavement, or are pressured by events beyond our control. We can complain, worry, or rebel, or we can thank God that he is still on the throne, and that he is too wise to make a mistake, that he is too loving to be unkind, and too powerful to be done away with in purpose. That there's he's too powerful to let this little thing bother him. You know how stuff bothers us. It's the slightest little thing. I mean, it can just tear us apart. But God, he's too powerful for that. Because he says to us, all things work together for the good of them that love God. They're called according to his purpose. He's doing everything according to his purpose in you. And whatever it is, it might be bad, but it's working for your good. That's hard to get. When you're in the midst of that, I understand. But if you get the word on the front side, when you get to the back side, you'll be able to press on through. You got to know that this thing is going to work out for my good. Yeah, he got some wonderful lessons to teach me. And some glorious purpose has to be fulfilled. And as the senior saints used to say, we'll understand it better by and by. Yeah, I'm through. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus was still consistent in his prayer life. Uh-huh. He just doesn't stop praying. He's come out of the upper room, y'all, where the feast had just taken place. But he doesn't stop praying. It appears the disciples don't even start to pray. But he doesn't stop praying. He goes from judgment hall to judgment hall. He gives up getting beatings till the flesh lay open on his back. He gets nails pressed in his hands and his feet, thorns pressed in his brow, spear piercing in his side, but he doesn't stop praying. Listen to him praying, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Yeah, he's still praying in the midst of crucifixion. And while he's praying there, it seems as though things are not going his way, but he doesn't stop praying. He prays even when it seems like he's all by himself. Did y'all hear him when he calls out to God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? If Jesus can call out to God, why can't you? If he can call out to the Father, why can't you? If he's going through and it seems like he's not going to make it, don't feel like you all by yourself. He does not stop praying. And so he may not get an answer, but that didn't stop him from praying. You keep on reading, the text says that he calls out, "Father, into your hand I commend my spirit." In other words, look here, here I come. I'm giving myself over to you. And after all that praying, it proved that it was not for naught. Because the third day morning, the scripture declares that the Father raised him up with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. And I hear him say, I want to give it to you, to everybody that would believe. And so Jackson, he says, tell them to pray without ceasing, or your morning is on the way.
Amen.
God bless you today.
Amen.